The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Of the many dinim, many laws which are brought in the Parsha, Parsha begins with Kiseitzei LaMilchoma Aleivecho, that when you go to war against your enemy, Hashem Elakecha will give into your hands victory and you will take captives. Rashi explains this is speaking by a Milchamas Rishus, not Milchamas Mitzvah, not the wars which you had to go to war to destroy the enemies within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, seven nations. Because there was the mitzvah of Leisechaya Kol Bishono. You were not allowed to leave anyone live. So since the Torah here says that you may take a captive, so this means it's referring to a mitzvah, to a Milchamas Reshus, another type of war that the Torah did not command you to destroy all of the people. But Yisa Bashiv Yeshe Shefas Torah, Yechoshak Tevov Alakach Terechol Isha. And if you see amongst the captives a very beautiful, attractive woman, and you will desire her, lakach telechol isha, you're allowed to take her for a wife. Vahevesa el teich beisecho, you shall take her into your house, vigilchas reisha, vasasa es siponeho, shave off her hair, let her nails grow, vahisiro es simla shibyo mealeho, remove the clothing that she had on from the war, because the women would wear attractive clothing. Yoshbu veisecho. She should sit in your house of voxes of your es ima yerech yomim, and let her weep for her mother and father for a month. Viacha kein tove eleho vealter oiseloch al isha, and afterwards you can take her, and you can take her for a wife. Oyim lecho fatstavo, and if afterwards you do not want her, vishilachta lenafsho, you shall send her away, umachol eisim kerena bakosef, but you shall not keep her as a slave and sell her. Because since you did not keep her and you afflicted her, then you shall not sell her to work for anyone else. This is the parsha of Yifas Torah, where the Torah gives permission for the Ben Yisrael to forcefully take a wife from the Goyim against her will, if he sees her during the time of the war, and if he desires her, and if she is attractive to him. What kind of mitzvah is this? So Rashi brings Le Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzorah. The Torah here is the Torah gave this mitzvah, this dispensation, because it took into consideration a person's Yetzorah, a person's evil drive and inclinations. Shimena Kodesh Baruch Hu Matira Yisoena B'Yisr. If HaKodesh Baruch Hu will not allow you to take her beheter, to take her in a permissive manner, Yisoena B'Yisr, then in the end he will go and take her in a forbidden manner. But then at the same time the Torah said, Yinosu Sefer Yoyis Nua. But a good ending will not come from this. Here we have a principle in the Torah, one of the mitzvahs. Like Dibra Torah, Ela Keneged Yetzorah. The Torah gave a dispensation, made a special aloha, because it took into consideration a person's Yetzorah, a person's humanly desires and drives. And it went with the cheshbon, it went with the calculation that in Teichal Beheter, Atche Teichal Beise Teichal Beheter, that it's better to eat something derech heter in a permitted manner than in a forbidden manner. And this we can ask a question. If this is the case, so we should find this by all mitzvahs of the Torah. Why did the Torah say that you're not allowed to eat something that's not kosher? We should find dispensations. The Torah, in certain cases, should permit us to eat it. Otherwise, we'll go and eat a bisa. Why does the Torah say that you cannot steal? I should find cases where, like Dibra Teira Ela Keneged Yetzorah, with the Torah, because a person, if he has to uphold the law of the Torah, Maybe it will be too heavy for him, and he will eventually break the law. So rather than having him break the law, we should refashion the law in order to take into consideration his humanly instincts. So the answer to that is one of the answers that one can give. This is a question which is a very famous question asked by many. One of the answers that can be given is, here we are speaking in extraordinary circumstances. This man here, this young man, has gone to war and he is commanded to kill. When he goes to war with Klal Yisrael, he must go to win. And he must go to kill. Like we've learned in other parshas. This is not Kimilchamas Achim. This is not like a fight of one Jew against the other. But this is a fight where it's to the finish, for survival. And you should not be Menachim, because they will not be Menachim on you. So here he is going to kill. If a person is going to kill and he's been Isaac, Bishvi has gone. This is something which is a great deviation from the norm. It's a great Yitzhiya min HaSeder. It's a great deviation from the norm. And as soldiers will relate their experiences on the battlefield, when it comes to the battlefield, a person almost has to be transformed from a normal human being into a machine, where there is one goal and one motive, and that is to destroy for the sake of survival. And if already, and this is such a war that he has permission to go to, if the Torah gave permission for a person to go and to kill and to destroy and to transform himself into such a entity, this throws an individual completely out of gear. This takes the normal thoughts, the normal machshavas, and the normal emotions, and places them under tremendous stress, under tremendous change and turmoil. In such a situation, the Torah saw that if he will see amongst the captives an attractive woman from the enemy, and he will desire her, there the Torah saw that it would be beyond his powers to stand up against the Torah. So, but therefore, here the Torah made this dispensation. And that we could ask, so why then only by Milchamas Rishus? This halacha, this law, is only by such a war that they did not have to go, Klal Yisrael did not have to go to destroy all of the people. But when it came to the Milchama against the seven nations or Amalek, then there was no heter, there was no permission for Yefastoah, even in such a case. So that we could say also an answer. Because in such a case, he was not allowed to take captives. Le'sechaya kol neshama. He was not allowed to leave anyone live. The men, the women, or the children. And if he is involved in destroying women also, so then it is not so probable that his Yetzirah, it is not so probable that his Yetzirah will take command of him. Because here his obsession is to destroy. So there's not the probability that there will be all of a sudden the emotion and the desire of attraction and love. But when it's a Milchamas Rishus, when it's this type of war, there he's only fighting against the men. But the women he's taking captives. There is the possibility that the Yetzirah will command him, will take command, will get the better of him. So at least this answers for us why, at least this answers for us why the Torah gives this dispensation here and not in other places normally, because this is an extraordinary case. But from here we can learn a great principle. From here we can learn the principle that when the Torah gave a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, it took into consideration the human strong points and the human weak points. Dibur Torah keneged Yetzirah. The Torah took into consideration a person's Yetzirah. Since we see that here, the Torah gave this dispensation because it felt that a person would not be able to succeed with the mitzvah otherwise. This means in other places where the Torah gave the mitzvah, this is within the reach of a person. The deen, the actual mitzvah, is within the reach of the person. If it was not within the reach of the person, then the Torah would not have given it, or it would have refashioned it, or it would have given some dispensation to it. On the other hand, when we are confronted by a mitzvah that many times is not the actual deen, but it is sometimes a little more than the deen than the actual law requires. Sometimes a chumrah, or sometimes lifnim mishuras hadin, going beyond the actual law. Or sometimes it's something that a person imposes upon himself. For example, a neder. He takes a vow to impose additional laws or mitzvahs or various types of conduct upon himself. Or sometimes, if it's a minhog, a custom which he imposes upon himself. But we're not speaking with the actual mitzvah, the actual deen. From here we can learn that in such a case a person has to be very, very careful. Because if it will be too much for him, then it's what the Torah mentions here, that the Torah permitted the halach of Yefas Toar, that rather he shall keep the Torah than end up breaking the Torah. Yisa'enu beheter, v'la yisa'enu be'isar. He should rather marry her within the structure of the law than end up throwing off the yoke of the Torah, the yoke of the law, and marrying her outside of the structure. And from this we can learn a lot. We can learn much. But when it comes to the actual law, a person cannot be lenient. He cannot fulfill less than the law. If this is what the Torah required, then he must do so. But on the other hand, he must also be careful about imposing on himself or on anyone else more than the law demands. Because it is not only a case of doing a little more, but great ruination can come from it. As we all know, the Gemara says, "Kefish gam lo shachna," that you load the camel in accordance to the weight he can carry. If you put on a little too much, this can break the camel's back. This can drive a person completely away from Torah mitzvahs. And something else we must also take in consideration is that we have many, many places in the Torah and the Chazals where we see that the deen, the actual mitzvah, is not always constant. But it changes. Constantly changes in accordance to who the individual is, in accordance to the various times, in accordance to the various places, in accordance to the various needs. And we'll bring some of these sources soon. And therefore it takes great chokhmah, great wisdom, great chokhmah satorah, to be able to define what is the actual mitzvah? What is the actual law? The actual deen? And what is something
which is in addition to that, or which is less than that. And this principle is very, very important, as we see here, the Torah itself saw necessary to refashion its own halachos in order to take into consideration the person's own abilities and his keach of his yetzer hara. Let's go into this subject this evening. There's a Gemara in Masechta Pesachim. The Gemara says, Beishama and Beisiddel had many machlokes. They had many disputes in halachos. Most of the time, Beishamai was more stringent. Beisiddel was more lenient. Sometimes Beisiddel was more stringent. Beishamai was more lenient. The Gemara says, someone who takes all the lenient decisions of Beishamai and all of the lenient decisions of Beisiddel, this is a rosho. He's just looking all the time for the easiest way. Someone who takes all of the chumras of Beis Shammai and all of the chumras of Beis Shammai, but what would be that wherever Beis Shammai was more stringent, so then I'll conduct myself in accordance to Beis Shammai. And wherever Beis Shammai was more stringent, then I'll conduct myself in accordance to Beis Shammai. So this should be a righteous person. And that the Gemara says, Harei zeh ksil b'cheshek heilech. This is a fool that walks in the darkness. Because he is grappling in the dark. He is not walking in the light of Torah. If the halacha is like Beis Shammai, then he must conduct himself in accordance to Beis Shammai. Whether Beis Shammai is more stringent or more lenient. If the halacha is like Beis Hillel, then he must conduct himself accordingly. But merely to grab a hold of a chumrah from Beis Shammai and of a chumrah from Beis Hillel, be stringent here and stringent there, this is not Torah. Torah is based on wisdom and understanding. Das bino. This is the hepech. This is the contrary to Torah. This is a ksil. Torah is light. The fool, he walks in darkness. Therefore it says, Harei zeh ksil b'cheshech heilech. This is a fool that walks in darkness. There's another Gemara that uses the phrase "Leinit na Torah lemalachi ashoros." Torah was not given to the angels. Torah was given to human beings, and the Gemara uses this many times to define a halacha. For example, if according to the droshes it comes out that the mitzvah demands from a person something which is almost physically impossible for him to do, so the Gemara says the Gemara disproves the drosha. With this concept, Leinit na Torah lemalachi ashoros, Torah was not given to the angels, it was given to human beings, to physical human beings. If you're going to expound a law which will require someone to do something which is almost humanly impossible, then this is a sign that this is not the law. Leinit na Torah lemalachi ashoros. The Rambam brings in Hilchis Deis, in the first prokim of Hilchis Deis, when it comes to how a person should conduct himself in accordance to the basic qualities of people, there he says a person should not go to the right nor to the left. He should not go too extreme one way. He should not be too stringent. He should not be too lenient. But he must walk the derech hamamutza. He must walk in the middle path, in the path of modesty. In Perek Gimel, in the third chapter, this is something which we've quoted many times before. Rambam says, Shema yemara odom. Perhaps a person will say, Ho'il v'hakina v'atayva v'hakovet. that since when it comes to such traits as jealousy or desire or honor, look, yetzibahen, other similar qualities, derech rohim, these are very, very bad qualities. And the Chazal tell us, our sages tell us that this, they drive a person out of the world. So therefore, I will further myself from them as far as possible. Since jealousy is a trait, which is an awful trait, desire, physical desires, and lust for honor, so therefore, I will completely strip myself from these qualities. And I will go to the opposite extreme. Now this is something we would say is a righteousness. I will not eat, even the Torah said that you shouldn't eat food that's not kosher, meat that's not kosher. I will not eat any meat. The Torah said that you shouldn't drink, a person should not become a drunkard. I will not drink any wine. The Torah said that there are certain women that you're not allowed to marry. I will not marry anyone. I will not fix up my home. I will not wear nice clothing. And this is not a new concept. Rambam says, he says, for example, like the ways of the idolaters, of the priests of the idolaters. There were many idolatries, the monks and others, that would separate themselves from the society, and they would live in such a manner. Such a conduct, we should say, is a very, very admirable conduct. Gamzu derech rohi, v'osa leilechba. This also is an evil way, and a Jew is not allowed to walk in it. Amahalak b'derech zu nikra chayta. And if someone does walk in this way, he is called a chayta. He is a sinner. Just like someone who eats what he's not allowed to eat is a sinner. Someone who does not eat what he is allowed to eat is also a sinner. If he does it because he wants to refrain, because he feels that he wants to impose himself some type of halacha. What is the source for this? By the nozir, one who refrains from wine, he has to bring a sacrifice for atonement. Our sages say that if the nozir who only abstained from wine, and he is considered a sinner, and he needs a sacrifice for atonement, so someone who has abstained from everything, how much more so? Therefore, the Torah said, that therefore the sages commanded that a person is not allowed to refrain from that except from that with the Torah forbade him. He's not allowed to impose upon himself laws or restrictions in that which the Torah itself has not restricted him. He should not take oaths and vows and restrict himself on that which is permissible. The wise, the sages said, isn't that sufficient what the Torah restricted you with? Is it not sufficient what the Torah forbade you? You have to go and add to it. In this category are those who always fast. This is not a good way. Chazal, the sages, forbade the person to afflict himself with fasts. And on all of this, Shlema HaMelech, King Solomon, the wisest of old men, said, just like we know that a person must be a righteous person, there's also a concept that a person should not be too righteous. A person should not be too righteous. And a person should not try to be too wise. Lama Tishomim, otherwise he will drive himself into isolation. Do not be more righteous than the Torah has stated, has demanded, and do not be wiser than the Torah has demanded. This is what the Rambam brings in, and his source for this is Nozir. This he brings in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos. Sometimes we see where, on the other hand, we're required to do even more than the deen demands, than the law demands, depending on who the individual is. Now, this is somewhat contradictory. You should not be too righteous. One of the great concepts in Torah is the mitzvah and the law of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very broad. Very, very broad. And can encompass entire worlds. And can be flexible in accordance to the time and the place and the individual. We'll bring an example. The Gemara in Bamatzia. At the end of Perek HaSefer HaSalumim, and the Pei Gimel, Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi the son of Bar Chana, Tov Relei Hanu Shakloi, Chaviso Chamro. Tosfos brings this in our Perek Ilumetzius, what we're learning now. He hired some workers, some Jewish workers, to move a large barrel of wine from one place to the other. As they were moving it, they broke the barrel. And it was broken, it was not broken maliciously, but they were somewhat careless. Shokal liglimayu. So he demanded payment from them. And for security, he took away their jackets, their coats. Until they'll pay, he held their coats. Osu omru l'Rav. The workers went to Rav. Rav had the bezdin. They went to complain. Omaluhu havlu glimayo. So Rav called in Rav Baba Chano, and he said, give them back their coats. Omaluhu dino hochi. Rav Baba Chano said, is this the deen? The deen is, as I hired them, and they broke it through negligence. They have to pay me? Is this the deen? Omaluhu ein. He said, yes, this is the deen. Rabbi Baba Chana said, it's not the deen. The Torah does not say this. So Rav answered him, for you it's the deen. He said, where is the source? Goram aposik for Mishlei, leman telech b'derech Torah, in order that you should walk in a good way. For you it's the deen. According to the actual law, you don't have to pay them. But for a person like you, when it comes to payment, to doing chesed, according to the actual law, you don't have to pay them. But when it comes to do chesed in stoko, you are Talmud Chochom, this is demanded of you. So he gave them back, Yohiv Leg Lemayo, he gave them back their coats. Omru Le Ani Anan, V'tarchinan Kula Yuma, V'kafinon, V'leslon Midi. The workers came back to Rav and they said, that we're poor people and we work the entire day and we're hungry and we have nothing to eat. Omarei, so Rav said to Rabbi Baba Chana, Zil Havli Ahagrayu, go pay them their wages. He said, pay them their wages. It's not sufficient that they broke my whole barrel of wine and now you said that I cannot collect money, I cannot collect damages, but I should pay them also. Is this the deen? Omalei deen ohochi? Is this the deen? He said, yes, for you this is the deen. Omalei ein. Where is the source? He brought the posik from Mishlei. Orches hadikim tishmor. You shall guard the ways of the righteous. According to the actual deen, you don't have to pay them. But when it comes to chesed and tzedakah, this you must do, someone like you. The Vilna Gaon writes in the Sefer Ma'aseh Rav that if you hire workers, Jewish workers, and they broke something while they're working for you, to be meichel them, to waive the payment, ein zu midas Talmud Chacham. This is not the conduct of a Talmud Chacham. Zu midas kol adam. This is demanded of every Jew. L'shalem l'scharei, to pay them their wages also. Zuhi midas Talmud Chacham. This is demanded from a Talmud Chacham. Merely to waive that what they did, the damages, that's not the midah. That's not conduct of a Talmud Chacham. This is demanded from every Jew. But to pay them on top of it, in addition, this is a midah of a Talmud Chacham. So here we see that the deen was, there's no doubt. There's no doubt whatsoever. The actual law, he was potter, he didn't have to pay. But the Rav said, there's a time when you must go beyond the deen. If going beyond the deen has no particular sense in it, no particular reason in it. The Torah said that a person should have 4 parshas in the tefillin. And I'll say, I'll do better, I'll put in 5 or 6 or 7. Well, the Torah said that you should take arba minim, 4 different species when it comes to sukkahs for the lulav. And I'll say, I'll do even better, I'll take 8. I'll take 2 esregim. This is not only not righteousness, but you would be transgressing a negative commandment in the Torah, Allah says, if you are adding to the mitzvahs. So merely to add to mitzvahs where there is no particular mitzvah to add, this is something that we're not allowed to do. But over here, as far as the actual deen, he didn't have to pay. But what would happen if he did pay him? Then it would be a mitzvah of tzedakah. He can give his own money to them. Doesn't have to pay them, it's not their money. But I can give them my money. It's a mitzvah of tzedakah. It's a mitzvah of chesed. And the Torah commanded in a person in tzedakah and chesed. So this is left to the individual. This is left to the individual. Rav told Rabbi Baba Chana, you as a Talmud Chacham, you have to live up to it. You must do the mitzvah of tzedakah and chesed. They're poor workers, you must pay them. So here we see, we asked him, Dino Hochi, is the deen like this? He said, yes, for you it's like this. We see the deen is very broad. The mitzvah is very broad. And it depends on the individual how much the Torah demanded from him. Like the Gemara says that in accordance to the strength of the camel, this is the load that we place on him. We see many times that mitzvahs change in accordance to the place or the time. There's a Gemara in the Sefer Sanhedrin, and it's paskin in the Rambam. We brought it in a shir not too long ago, that by a murderer, if someone murders another person, but he does it in such a way where it's not directly, but where he caused the murder in an indirect manner, for example, he hired someone to go murder that person, or he laid a trap for him, but it was not direct murder, then the Beis Din has no right to put this man to death. Beis Din Shalmato, our Botei Dinim, we're referring to the time of the Sanhedrin and the great Botei Dinim, had power to give out capital punishment only to someone that murdered directly through his own actions. Then at the same time, it states, what happens if there's a pirtso in the door, that we see that the generation is very lax when it comes to violence, and when it comes to harming other people. And it's Seder HaShoah, and the hour demands that there must be some strengthening of this. Then the Gemara brings proofs, sources, that even though the Beis Din does not have the normal permission to put such a person to death, but at such a time they are obligated to, either the Beis Din or the king. The Gemara calls this HaRoshah. He was sure that many times a decision can be made by taking into consideration the particular hour and the particular need. We have many, many times in the Gemaras, many times, And the Gemara says that such is the din, such is the mitzvah. But if there is a hefsid merubah, if it's going to involve a great loss of money, then sometimes the mitzvah will change. Or if it will involve another great necessity, sometimes the mitzvah will change. The din will change. We have the well-known halacha, v'chai bohem v'lei shiyonos bohem, that mitzvahs were given, but if it's going to involve a person, if it's going to bring a person in danger of life and death, then the mitzvah becomes nidche. The mitzvah is rejected. Sometimes if it will involve bringing a person into sickness, there's a dispensation. The halacha is not simple, but takes great wisdom, great chokhmas ha-Torah, to understand it. But the main point is that the person must seek to fulfill with all of his power the deen, the actual law, but not less and not more. But the actual law, in accordance to his particular situation, his particular time, and his particular power, the individual that he is. Another source for this we have in Sefer Mishlei from the Vilna Gaon. In the beginning of Mishlei, which was written by Shlema Melech, Shlema Melech wrote, Mishlei Shlema ben David Melech Yisrael, the das chochma u'musar lohovim imrei bino. That Shlema said, I am writing the Sefer in order that a person should know chochma u'musar. He should be given musar. Musar is the art of self-control, the art of self-discipline. How a person can develop in himself self-discipline, control, and how he can break his yetzer hara, his humanly and evil desires. This is what Musar is. So the Vilna Gaon asks, what does it mean that Shlomo wrote, in order to know Musar and to understand Imrei Vino, and to understand the words of Bino, the words of understanding, the words of Torah. So this he writes because even when a person involves himself in Musar, in self-discipline, in self-development, it must only be through the words of the Torah. Many times, and this is something very common in our times, you find people want to train themselves in character development, personality development, and they devise an entire plan for themselves. And Musar is a great mitzvah. And this Shlema HaMelech is warning. No. Lodas chochmo Musar lohovin im revino. Musar is only good if it is channeled through the wisdom of the Torah. And this is what the Vilna Gaon says. Afim yeshabres yitzrei v'tavosei. Even if a person comes to break his yetzer hara, to break his taiva, person wants to undertake a great diet, wants to destroy his taiva, his appetite for worldly things, yiroi l'shabbat b'derech haTorah. He must be very careful only to do it in accordance to the restrictions of the Torah. V'lo yetzadik harbe yoser mimash yekosev b'Torah. And he should not impose upon himself to be a greater tzaddik, a more righteous person than the Torah itself demanded. The marshal, for example, he will impose upon himself to fast many days, to fast Shabbos and so forth and so forth. Here again we have this source that whatever the person does, it must be in accordance to the actual deen, to the actual law of the Torah. Because if he'll bring too much upon himself, then he'll break himself. And this, like we see, even the Torah took that into consideration. If the Torah will forbid the soldier to take the fast Torah, to take this woman, then in the end he'll throw up Torah completely and he'll go away from it. And there the Torah saw in that particular situation that would have been beyond his ability to impose his own self-control. Another such case, the Vilna Gaon brings in Perek Yudalit, in Perek Yutes. In Perek Yutes, Posit Beis, Gam Bele Das Nefesh Leitev, Va'otz Pedaglaim Chete. If someone goes without Das, he goes without knowledge. And the Gaon writes here that there's someone that fulfills mitzvahs but does not learn Torah. Someone fulfills mitzvahs but does not learn Torah. This is belay das, this is without knowledge. If he does mitzvahs and he doesn't understand the mitzvahs, he doesn't learn Torah, this is fulfilling a mitzvah without knowledge. Nefesh leitayv, this is not good for the nefesh. A person must learn. And he brings that Yira Shamayim, fear of heaven, can come only from Torah. There's no other place that it can come from. Only from the study of Torah. He says, Ki Ayis Hashem bo mea Torah. Fear of Hashem comes from Torah. Bim leilmad lo yeh leyira. If he will not learn, if he will not study, he won't have fear. The Otz Braglaim Chayteh. Someone who jumps is a Chayteh, is a sinner. What does it mean, someone who jumps is a sinner? So he says the word raglaim, this refers to the qualities of the person. Because the word raglaim comes from the word hergel. They become part of him, routine. He says when a person grows in Torah, and when a person grows in midas tevis and good qualities, he sorif lelech b'midas midarga ledarga. He must go step by step. Kemei helech b'sulam. Just like a person walks a ladder. When a person walks up a ladder, he doesn't go from one step to the bottom step to the top step. He walks step by step. What happens if he skips a step? He falls. Same thing when it comes to growth in this world. Growth in this world, spiritual growth in this world, must be like physical growth in this world. A child is born, he grows slowly, he matures. He comes to adolescence, he comes to adulthood, and so forth, and so on. So must it be growth in Torah and mitzvah, spiritual growth in this world. He must walk up a ladder step by step. He should not reach and try to jump for a level which is not fitting for him. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said that he'll jump. He will jump to another step. Lemida gavaya shela yagia. Like who chayter? And if he does, he's a chayter. He's a sinner. V'chosar mikol, and he'll lose everything. Ki yipol vimenu, because he'll fall to the bottom. This is something we see many times. Very common in yeshivas. But you see people who sometimes are a little too eager. A person must be eager, he must be keen, he must be full of cheshir, full of drive. But sometimes we see that he's a little too eager, he wants to take the shortcut. He wants to become like a young boy that wants to become an adult overnight. It's years and years of growth. There is no shortcut. The shortcut is not the short way. It's like the Gemara says, it's a derech tzorish yaruchalo. It's a short way that's really longer for you. And many times we see that they want to get there too quickly. And in the end, it's tragic. They fall completely. They're demanding from themselves more than they have ability for, more than they have spiritual ability for. There's another place in which the Vilna Gaon writes, this is something very interesting. He writes this, I believe, in Maaser Av. The Vilna Gaon was perhaps the greatest masmid that the world ever knew, especially the modern world. He was someone that not only did he learn day and night, but his son writes on him that he slept 2 hours in every 24-hour period. He was physically able to do this. 2 hours in every 24-hour period. And the rest of the time, he was either basic in mitzvahs, or he was learning, or chesed in stocker. But basically, he was learning. He was learning day, he was learning by day, and he was learning by night. And his writings show this. His writings show this. And he wrote dozens and dozens and dozens of stories. He wrote a commentary on all of Shulchan Aruch, which encompasses all of Shas. And the son writes on him that many times he changes one or two words in the text of the Gemara. He writes a little note on the side and says that this word is a mistake, an error. It should be a different word. That he would never undertake to make a change in one word of the text unless he would have at least 14 to 24 incisive proofs on this. Where he would have 14, 15, 16, 17 places. Various places in the Bavli, in the Yishalmi, or the Tosefta, or from all of the other sources, before he would contemplate making this adjustment. And he learned everything. There was nothing that he didn't learn. If it was from the Chumash, or the Nach, or if it was the Mishnah, or the Gemara, or if it was all of this forum of the Tanoim, the Amoraim, or if it was the Nista, the Kabbalah. They say he wrote 30 or 40 Sforim on the Zohar HaKodesh, or on the writings of the Arizal. So there was nothing that was too difficult for him. Yet he writes in his Maaser Av that always a person, when he learns, he should not choose something which is too difficult for him. Why? Because if he attempts to learn something which is too difficult for him, then the end will be he'll give it up and he'll leave it. This is what the Gro the Gon writes. Yes. When a person learns, take something easy. Don't famata sufil. You take a piece of Gemara. If you're not ready for Taisus yet, don't learn it. Because if you'll start learning and it'll be too difficult, he writes, that'll be the end of your learning. You'll close the Gemara and you'll leave it. And this is the Gaon writes. Says, a person should always choose something which is not too difficult. He should learn in accordance to his level. If he'll come to a piece of Gemara where he'll learn over and over again and he sees he's not getting anywhere, turn the page. Because if he will not take into consideration, what is he doing here? He's taking into consideration a person's interest and a person's ability. If the person can understand that, this will give him more cheshek to learn further. If he's learning without understanding, if it's not a labor of love, then he says he'll leave it. It's another such example. Another Gemara that illustrates this very keenly. It's a Gemara Masechet Chulin. And Daf Kuf Hei. Perek Kol HaBosel. Oma Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva said, Ano
Here the Gemara is speaking about eating milchiks and fleishiks. I know that if a person eats fleishiks, if you eat meat, you're not allowed to eat milchiks right afterwards. But you have to wait a period of 6 hours. Where does the 6 hours come from? The Gemara says you should wait misuda lesuda, from one suda to another. And the Rishayim bring that generally there was a 6 hour period between one meal and another. So you weren't supposed to eat meat and then milk until the time it was for the next suda. So Marukva said that in this din, I can be compared to my father like vinegar next to wine. Why? Ilu abo ki hava ochel bistro idna le hava ochel gvina ad lemochar ad hashto. When it came to Abba, when it came to my father, when he would eat meat at this time today, he would not eat cheese, he would not eat any milchiks until this time tomorrow. He would wait a complete 24 hours. Ilo ano, and I, behosu dosoi hudele achilno, besudas achrito achilno. When it comes to me, if I eat meat now, then I will not eat milchiks, I'll wait till the next suda. So therefore, when you compare my deeds to my father's deeds, I am like vinegar compared to wine. So the old tells the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Leib, Zochein Livrocha. We're asking this Gemara. We're speaking here of Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva was one of the great sages of the Gemara. Was this a good quality that his father had, or a bad quality? If it was a bad quality, so then why does he say that he's compared, he is like vinegar to wine? And if it was a good quality, so then why didn't you emulate it? Was it too difficult for you? Mar Ukva, that was the sage of the Shas, he was the great sage of the Gemara, would it have been too difficult for him to wait till the next day before he ate milchiks? So what is the pshat? What does the Gemara mean? So he said very, he interpreted this Gemara very, very sharply and very keenly. He says he means very simply. Sure, it was a great deed that his father did. He called it was like wine. Why didn't you do it? Because undertaking great acts is not merely the physical manipulation of the body to do so. Undertaking great acts means that the person must understand what he is doing, must be at a spiritual height to be able to do it, and must have the spiritual strength and capability to do it. Sure, it would have been very simple for Mar Ukva merely to stop eating milchiks that day every time that he ate fleishiks. But that's not what his father did. The Gemara many times refers to that if a person does something and he doesn't know what he's doing, the Gemara says that's a maisa keif bi alma. Anytime that a person does something and he doesn't know what he's doing, the Gemara calls that a maisa kof. That's the act of a kof, of a monkey. Why? Because we know that you can teach a monkey to do something also, and he'll do it. Now what is the difference when the monkey does it or the person does it? The monkey, when he does it, it's a pure physical action. When an odom, when a person does it, it's a physical action. It's an emotional action. It's a mental action. It's a spiritual action. This is the greatness of the human being. The Vilna Gaon writes that just like there are all kind of levels in human beings and all kind of levels in nations, we know there were nations at a low level, some nations a little higher. We know from Noah, he had 3 sons, and from there came out all of the 70 nations, and we see certain nations achieve greatness and certain ones didn't, and so forth.
And then Klal Yisrael is the highest of all of the nations. So also there were degrees and levels given to the animal kingdom. As we know, there's plant life and there's animal life. There's all different levels of animals. Some animals are simple, some are more complex. Some can do more. He writes that the greatest ability at the top of the animal kingdom, before the human kingdom comes, was the kof, was the monkey. And why is he called kof? The word kof has a meaning in Hebrew. The Hebrew meaning of it is akofa, which means to copy. Fact is, a very good friend, Rabbi Glazerson, who makes a study into languages, and he has a principle that even much of English language, other languages, had certain derivations in the Hebrew. So he used to tell me that copy comes from the same origin as the word kof. But at any rate, the Gemara says, for example, Gemara says if there's an organ in an animal, and you don't know if it has a puncture in it, and you don't know if the puncture was made while the animal was alive or after the Shechita. So it would have a practical application in regards to Tzeifus. So the Gemara says, take another organ, puncture it now, and compare one to the other. And this way we can tell. So the Gemara uses the word hakofa. When you compare one to the other, this is the word kof. This ability was given to the monkey. The monkey, more than any other animal, can emulate, can compare the human actions of man. Other animals will see man do something. They cannot copy it. The kof can copy it. The only difference is, the Gemara says many times, it's a nicer kof. This is merely a physical act. Man, it's a physical, it's a spiritual, it's an emotional, it's a mental act. It looks like the same, but it's two worlds. So was it in fulfilling mitzvahs. Maruk said that sure, I could eat meat and then for 24 hours not eat milk, but it would be a maisakov bialma, it would be the act of a monkey. What do I know about such things? I don't know why my father did it. He knew, but I don't know. He knew why he did it. He had his sources. He had his sources in Nigla, in the revealed Torah, or in the hidden Torah. He knew exactly what it was all about. He was ready for such a thing. He was capable for such a thing. If I would do it, would that be Abba? No. And therefore, I am like challah, like vinegar, compared to wine that was my father. Here we have another such moment. One final source, which we can't go into at length, but this is something we've mentioned many times. When it came to marrying Ruth was the great Georis. She was the convert. And she came from Moab. And when she wanted to convert and she wanted to marry into Klal Yisrael, there was a great dispute, a very great dispute. Because the Torah said, Le'yovei Moab ve'amoni. Ve'amon, Moab, Moavi ve'amoni. These two nations should not be permitted to marry into Klal Yisrael. So Boaz went, and he was Mavara the Halacha. He went, he studied the Halacha. He studied until he came to a conclusion. He came to an airtight conclusion that he resolved with his Sanhedrin, with his Bezdin, that the Halacha is Moabi vele Moavit. The men from Moab were not allowed to accept. The women we are. Therefore he offered Ruth that he would take her. He would marry her, but on one condition. There was a closer relative, he must have first choice. The other relative, His name was Tov. But when the Megillas Rus refers to this episode, it does not say that Tov refused him, but it says Pliny Almeni. Pliny means, is a name like John Smith, John Doe, so and so. Almeni means the widower, an alman. That's how it refers to him. And when he was offered her, he says, I cannot take her. I cannot take her. Pen Ashkis es nachlosi, because I will destroy my seed. Because she is a Moabite. The question is asked there, why is he called Pliny Almeni? So the Chazal say, he was an alman midivrei Torah. He was a widow from Torah. And because he did this, he lost his name. Because he said, Penashki says nachlosi, maybe I will destroy my seed. Because she was committed. And at the same time he told Boaz, I cannot take her, you take her. So what does this mean? First of all, Boaz was there, the Gemara brings, Boaz was there with the Sanhedrin, with his Bezdin, with the Bezdin. Because he wanted to clarify the halacha. Surely the person was not arguing with the Bezdin of Boaz. Secondly, if he held, she was not allowed to be taken. So why does he say, like Uchal, Igol, I cannot take her, you take her. Why did he tell Boaz to take her? If it was treif, so why are you telling someone else to eat? So the answer is, he didn't say that you're not allowed to take her. He just said, Moab is from a forbidden nation. You are allowed, I agree. The men you're not allowed to, the women you're allowed to take. I agree. But still, it's a forbidden nation. It's a nation which has been rejected from Klal Yisrael. I don't want her. You take her. I don't want her. Because she will bring an impurity into my seed. And this is what the Chazal write, Alman Medivrei Torah. He didn't understand Torah. He was a widow from Torah. Torah is not a human law. If it would be a human law, then he would be speaking very logically. It's a bad nation. It's not a good nation. Through the legal technicalities, the women, yes, and the men, no, but I don't want her. She'll bring impurity into my seed. Torah is Chukim Gzeres Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are statutes. They are laws from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is forbidden, is forbidden. And what he said is permitted, is permitted. And when he said that the men are forbidden and the women are permitted, that's the beginning and the end of it. Almoni, he was called an almon, a widow, because b'divrei Torah, he didn't understand what Torah was all about. And Plony, he lost his name. You're afraid of your seed. We'll erase your name completely. Because it's Torah that gives a person his name. Boaz that took her, he gained a shem le'olam. He gained a name forever. Because from Ruth came out, from Ruth and Boaz came out, David HaMelech. He who went with Torah, who went with the perfection of the law, he gained a name forever. He who did not go with Torah, he came into darkness. This is a very, very important concept. And this is a concept that becomes very confused in our day. Very confused in our day. You have many people that to the left are very, very lenient. Many people are very stringent. And when it comes to the Shmiras Adin, actually to guard the halacha, the way it is, not more and not less, this is a concept which becomes foreign. Many, they want chumras, they want more. And this was not the way of the past generations. The Chofetz Chaim himself, who wrote the entire Mishnah Berurah on Shulchan Aruch, he said on himself that his whole life he tried to fulfill the deen. The law, nothing more. And the reason why it is so evident in our generation is because so much Torah has been lost. Because someone without Torah, he is b'ksil b'cheshech eilich, like the Gemara says. He is walking in darkness. He doesn't know. Sometimes you say it's allowed, and then we come to another situation, you say it's not allowed. And then a third situation, you make a compromise. He doesn't understand the ways of Torah. It's impossible for someone to understand the ways of Torah if he's not learning Torah. Like the Gros says, that even if you fulfill mitzvahs, but it's leitev, it's not good for the nefesh, but leidas, without the Torah. The Torah is delight. And this is why Torah is called the word Torah from the word hayro. It instructs a person, haderech yelchubo, the way he should walk. Our ancestors, on the other hand, you take the past generations that were steeped in Torah. People here come from Lithuania. Lithuania was the center of Torah in the world. People from other areas of the world used to refer to the Lithuanian Jew as a very liberal Jew. He was a liberal. As a very lenient Jew. They didn't understand. He went with Torah. He wasn't interested in doing more or doing less. He was interested in doing what the law was. And if he was steeped in Torah, he could understand what the halacha was. From other areas, they used to refer to him as the liberal. And this was the derech all of the time. There was a rov of St. Louis, Zeicher Tzadik Livrochem, who was nifter just 3 months ago. One of the great rabbonim of America. He himself was not a Litvisher. He came from Poland. He actually was from a Hasidic dynasty. But he learned by Litvisher. He saw them. He was a great rov, a great bal halacha. He told me one day, he was the rov of the city, and that's been happening in so many other cities. Young people would come in from other areas, young people that studied a little, but perhaps not enough. The Gemara says that the whole turmoil came, and the whole machlekes came when there were talmidim that learned, but not sufficiently. And they created all kind of problems in St. Louis with kashrus. This was not kosher enough, this was not kosher enough. Shaftes was not kosher enough, and so forth. He told me, he said, that he can't understand this generation. His father was a great Rav in Europe. He says, Ich gedenk bei ein Tata. He says, I remember when I was a boy by my father. The Tata gesitzt in the study. My father sat in the study. The butcher sat here. Er gesagt Tillem. He was saying Tillem. Because it was a child of the animal was trefer kosher. Und the Tate gesitzt mit Sforim bis ins ceiling. The Tate sat with Sforim piled up to the ceiling until he was able to find a clear heter for the behemoth, for the animal. He says, I remember all the time. The Gemara says, Keach de hetera odif, the Gemara says. The Gemara says many times brings that one great sage says it's permitted, the other one says it's forbidden. So first the Gemara states the view of the one who says it's permitted. So the Gemara says, why? Because keyach hetera odif. If somebody can permit something in accordance with the law, that's a greater achievement, the Gemara says, than someone that can forbid something. And the European Jewry that was absorbed so much in Torah, this was part of their life. They went with Torah. They took all of these considerations in. Today that we are so far from it, so we see the tremendous confusion, the tremendous darkness. This one goes to the right, this one to the left, this one says like this, this one says like that, and it becomes a great confusion. The direction of the Jew must be Torah Hayro. Torah tells the person exactly where to walk. And from there he must not turn to the right nor to the left. And the Torah very carefully took into consideration every situation, every time, every individual. And this a person can come through only through learning of Torah, the instruction, the association with those that learn Torah. And as we see that here, this parsha comes to teach us that even the great human error and the great human weakness, the Torah saw fit to refashion its law in order that it should be a law which man can fulfill. We should be zeicher to once again come to see the Haromis Keren HaTorah, the uplifting of the crown of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.